I'm starting my company today. Where should I incorporate?
I think it depends really on the outlook that you have towards your business and what is it that your end goal is. With the advent of, you know, consumer tech companies getting listed and having the kind of reputation that they have, there is some surge in wanting to list in India.
I get this question a lot and I have my own point of view but want to run it by you. Quite a few founders message and say, hey, I started my company 5 years back. I'm incorporated in the US. Should I flip back? Or should I even think about this now? What would your take be?
It's the flavor of the season.
So welcome to Matrix Moments, and this is going to be an episode on incorporating your SaaS company in the US versus India. So, I mean, this is a topic we've actually seen a lot of conversation around, especially given all that buzz with companies moving their headquarters back to India. So what we've done is we've compiled some top of mind questions from founders, and we'll go over a framework that can help you if today you're starting up your company, help you think about where you should incorporate it. And we'll run over these with two experts who kind of seen this domain. So first up, we have Harish. Harish is a partner at the PVC practice in Cyril Amarchand Mangaldas. He has over a decade of experience advising companies on their incorporation, acquisition, fundraising, and everything around that. Pranay, he's an MD at Matrix, was previously at Freshworks, and of course, the journey there was incorporated in the US, taken public in the US markets as well. So we'll have learnings to share from that journey. But thank you too for joining, and super excited. So I think we can kick this off with, you know, the first question that's probably top of mind for a founder, specific to a couple of SaaS companies. Historically, it's been that, let's go the US model and headquarter in the US, maybe have your subsidiary in India and operate with that model. And Pranay, I know you've kind of seen this at Freshworks. So why did this sort of become that de facto?
Yeah. So good question. And I think back then, like, and I'm talking about like 2010 era companies, right? So one is obviously IP protection laws were better set up, right, in the US and more mature. So it would be a good place in terms of IP residence. The second was just ease of doing business, right? A lot of us were serving SMB companies who, you know, are doing subscription payments. So you have their credit card on file, you charge them every month. Now that wasn't possible with payment gateways in India, right? So even if you want access to the Stripes or back in the day Braintree and you want to set up subscription payments, credit card on file, just the infrastructure available to do things like that was much more easy, right, in a way. And I think the third was just in terms of access to both capital as well as exit opportunities, right, where, you know, a US firm investing in a US company or a US firm acquiring a US firm, I think both sides of the table are better or more comfortable with that approach. So there was this perception as well that it's easier to raise capital, it's easier to find exits, it's easier in case an acquisition opportunity comes up and as a founder, you might want to consider it. So across all three reasons, I think US was the default choice for the last decade, decade and a half, for at least for SaaS companies which were starting out of India. Obviously, in the last few years, we've seen some of that changing, right, which is what we want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. And kind of catching on to that, like today it's changing and it's becoming a topic of discussion. We get a lot of founders reaching out to us saying, okay, what do you guys recommend? What do you most commonly see? So Harish, I'm going to throw this to you the way a founder would throw it at us. I'm starting my company today. Where should I incorporate?
Yeah, I think it's a loaded question. And I wish there was a simple answer to this. I think it depends really on the outlook that you have towards your business and what is it that your end goal is. If you look at the way startups and unicorns have sort of come about in India. Founders in India today don't only have aspirations of building businesses big, they have aspirations of building businesses domestically, also, you know, creating some level of change in the Indian ecosystem. With the advent of, you know, consumer tech companies getting listed and having the kind of reputation that they have, there is some surge in wanting to list in India. So if your broader objective and a long-term objective is to access capital markets, and considering the bar in the US or even other jurisdictions is very high for accessing capital markets as a long-term strategy, it is better for you to start your business in India. If that's not your long-term goal, and let us say you are undecided today that that's really my goal, then your decision should purely be driven by your personal tax. Where do you want to be during that period? How beneficial the tax jurisdiction is going to be? And secondly, where is the customer base and how co-location with the customer is going to advantage your business? Eventually, you may want to flip back into India, and I guess we will come to that question later. But those would be the two broader categories, I would
think. Yeah. I think this the entire long-term vision and where the company ultimately aspires to be. Pranay, you and I have worked on a piece on this. That could probably be an entire episode in itself. But that journey until then, like just how you, where your market is and how you set up, your ease of even working with the customers you have. I think a lot of questions around that we can unpack, Harish. So let's say today I'm a founder setting up a SaaS company. Most of my companies or my customers and customers are located in the US. How do we go about thinking about this then? For such a founder, what's probably the way that he should think about setting up that business?
Sure. So Ashwin, if you had asked this question to me about 6 to 7 years ago, my answer would have been slightly different. And it would have been probably just go set up in the US, because it's difficult to do here. There is as much as the giant IT companies exist with an India setup and a global subsidiary business, it's not as common for, you know, startups and young SaaS companies to be doing that. I think today my answer is a little different. I think it is not difficult to set up business in India. It is not difficult to set up in corporations in India. If your client wishes to have a local connect, you can always do the subsidiary business where there is an INC business, that is a company that is incorporated, and you do the business, and you can always do the transfer pricing cross charge business that is typical. And all the advantages that I would say an offshore jurisdiction offered about 8 to 10, 6 years ago are not as attractive today in the offshore jurisdiction. You have great access to funds in India. Now, if you're a decently operated company, there's a great VC network that's operating. You have access to great private equity, like we discussed, capital markets. From a personal taxation point of view, if that's really the goal, and that can also be solved by the founder just being abroad while the large parts of the business and the company setting up in India. That's a matter of structuring. That where would you like to be domiciled? And from that perspective, I would say India is no longer a less favorable option as compared to the US or Singapore for that matter.
Yeah. Well, I think if we just put that into sort of three things that we spoke about. Ease of doing business. You don't need to be in the US to look like you're a US company selling to a US customer. You can also do that with this structure. So that's kind of one part of it, which is sort of irrelevant. The next two pieces, Harish, touching upon those. One was access to capital markets. And the second one was also sort of that personal preference of where the founder wants to be domiciled. Maybe the first piece, Pranay, I'd love your view on this, but does it impact access to capital depending on where you're incorporated or where you're based out of?
So again, answer might have been different a few years back, but today I don't think it does. right? And like Harish touched upon, I think there's enough India incorporated SaaS companies at different stages of their scaling journey. I think many of them have raised from domestic pools of capital, which there are a lot of today, right? And many of them have attracted in investments from like top tier international funds as well, right? So no difference, at least in my eyes, when it comes to access to capital or fundraising.
Yeah, yeah. And coming to sort of that preference of, let's say, where a founder wants to be domiciled. Now, if you're incorporated in the US, how does that impact your personal decision? Like, can you choose to stay in India? Do you need to move to the US? What's the dynamic there?
So I think if the only reason you would pick to be in a jurisdiction is if you want to stay there long term, to be a resident of that country and avail the tax benefits. And anecdotally, in one of the deals that we were doing, in the acquirer told the founder that you need to re-domicile from Singapore to India. And the founder said, it is a deal breaker for me. Because the tax, personal tax on employment in Singapore was much lower. So the expectation, of course, is that you have to be a resident of that jurisdiction. From a US to India, from a residency and taxation, not sure how better that is fundamentally, but definitely there are other jurisdictions which are gaining sort of momentum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And I think what's another interesting piece here is just when you're creating IP. We've always heard that, Harish, you briefly touched upon this as well. But should founders care about like the IP protection laws, and is there a difference? So how do you kind of view that and factor that into this decision?
Sure. So I think from a IP protection, and this is the classic, I would say, India thing, where the law is absolutely good. The law is good enough to protect your IP. I think the problem that we typically end up dealing with is our enforcement mechanism good enough or not? Quicker access to justice, quicker access to injunctions, ability to approach the regulatory authority and get, yes or no as an answer is a big driving factor in some of these items. The IP law that's accessible or applicable in the US is largely applicable and accessible in India. There are similar copyright protections, there are similar patent protections, trademark protections available. What is the question is, are you going to be able to enforce your IP as well as you did earlier? Who are you trying to enforce it against? Let us say that you are trying to put a post-term non-compete on an employee, which is going to be very much enforceable in the US. But in India, because under the Contract Act, we have this provision that you can't have a restraint on trade, it becomes difficult for you to put a post-term employment non-compete. So then you have to rely on factors like this was confidential information and I'm trying to protect the confidentiality. Or this is a founder whose business I acquired and therefore from a share purchase point of view, I'm trying to protect this. So those are the gray areas on, and when founders set up, they don't set up with all documentation in place. There'll be four guys in a room who have developed something and now, trying to formalize the business. And at that point of time, one person saying this IP belongs to me is the absolute, absolute nightmare. Probably give an example, quick example. We had a situation where three people set up a company. The patent needs to have one person's name who developed it. So it was in one of the founders' name. They fell out and the company raised capital from venture capital investors. And suddenly we're in a situation where the third founder says the patent actually belongs to me and I have not yet signed it off to the company. So go ahead and enforce it. That was really the kind of problem that you end up solving And that's the answer to that is not great.
Got it. Yeah, I think just some of how that legal system is structured and the fact that it's been around for longer, it covers a lot of these use cases along the way. So maybe IP in itself becomes a consideration set, especially if you're creating like very strong IP in domains like dev tooling, CyberSec, and so on. But I think the most interesting question or the factor to consider in this is just that long-term vision. Now, today when founders start a company, they're obviously looking at, okay, like, I'm going to make this big. So there would be, you know, plans of an IPO. And along the way, there are also multiple other ways or journeys that companies take. You have PE buyouts, you have M&As, corporate M&As. So taking this now into consideration, and of course, given it's long-term, it's hard for you to plan off right from the footing, but it's good to know what that kind of plays out depending on where you've incorporated. So starting with the IPO piece first, Pranay, for me as a founder, it would have always been, for if I was a SaaS company, it would have always been the US IPO as an end goal. But what's kind of changed today, and even India IPOs, like why are people talking about that?
So I think a few things, right? One is, as a founder, you define your journey, right? So you can, even if you're taking venture capital, not taking venture capital is a personal decision. Do you want to build a bootstrap profitable business? Do you want to go for hyper growth? Again, later on, if you're taking venture money, then the sort of unsaid promise is that I will build a large scale business and help you find an exit in X years of time, right? Now, there's multiple ways to go about that, right? It could be a sale, it could be a secondary transaction with a private equity buyer, it could be creating access to public capital where you can sell your shares, right? So it is a founder decision at the end of the day, right? So I just want to put that out first. Now, if I had to think about it as a founder, right? Earlier, like we, even at Freshworks, we had this aspiration of we'll be the first US, like the India SaaS IPO in the on the NASDAQ and all of that, which is fine. I think today, sentimentally, I meet a lot more founders who say, I want to create an Indian public company, right? Which is great. And they say, I want Indian investors to share the wealth or create wealth for employees as well as investors in India. Why should I like give those gains to someone else? So that is fine. I think the second thing that people think about is, what is the bar to be a public company today, right? And the way I explain it is, in the US, there is no small cap, mid cap market, right? Every IPO is a large cap IPO. You need to be 300, 400 million in revenue. You need to have clear path to $1 billion of revenue. You still need to be growing fast. And usually you'll see all these IPO scale businesses today are like $5 billion plus in terms of valuation, right? So I think the bar for a US IPO has just slowly gone up, right? And maybe a decade back, it used to be 100 million revenue. Today, it's like 300 or 400 million revenue and with the same expectations around growth, right? In India, that bar is still lower, right? It is probably a company with like 100 million ARR in SaaS, which is profitable or near profitable, can list in India, right? So I think that is one consideration of like, what exit am I building towards? The second is, what is the bar for that exit, right? And the answer is different in the US versus India. The third is, what is that aspiration that I have set out to achieve, right? So it's a combination of factors, but in the US, the bar has definitely gone up. And I think that also makes people change or rethink their decision.
On the other piece, which Harish, you did touch upon, like just acquisitions and even maybe a private equity buyout. Now, when you look at that angle, does you being incorporated in a geography impact that decision?
I would think not, because the only item that really bothers you is you then should be incorporated in a jurisdiction where you are paying the least amount of tax, frankly. Because if acquisition is really your end goal, it's simpler to do it in the US, etc. A lot of us have done global acquisitions where companies just get acquired and folded into the larger company without much process really being required at the end of the day. Whereas here, if you intend to do, let's say, a merger which is the most tax efficient way of doing it. It's a 12-month process. If you're a Delaware incorporated company and you wanted to merge up, it's just a preference shareholder approval with a certificate of merger. So it's a the process timeline really defines how you want to do the M&A. And investors are available at both places. I think India has equally, if not bad, secondary market, equally good secondary market. If you want to do a private equity secondary exit here on a business which is, you know, not regulatorily cumbersome and people don't need to take calls on them, it's you will find an exit as easy as you would find elsewhere. But I think folding up the businesses is something which is better if you are a non-resident acquirer.
Got it.
And I think actually, I think on this front, right, I have some experience and a lot of scars on my back. But I think if you think about acquisitions, and my recommendation today for founders is if you're building something with deep technical IP, right, whether it's dev tools or AI or what have you, it might be a better idea to be incorporated in the US, right, or at least have your IP over there for a few reasons, right? One is, if you're doing something in the deep innovation game, this is attractive technology to a lot of big companies out there. So it is likely that you'll be quoted or you'll get offered something along the way, right? Should you choose to take it or not is a very personal decision, but that might come up, right? If it comes up and you want to do it, it is easier to do like a US-US merger like Harish mentioned, right? It's a simple 4-6 week process. All the lawyers are familiar. You merge the entities and you are done, right? If that IP is based in India and an acquirer and most acquirers are in the US for such stuff, then it's hard on two levels, right? Because one is, you know, it will come to this structuring decision of should I buy the company or should I just acquire the assets, right? Because you need to shift that IP from India to the US where that company might be, you know, incorporated and want to hold their IP. The second is just from a tax perspective, it becomes inefficient because there's two layers of tax, right? That one is to move the IP, you are sort of doing this intercompany transaction and there will be taxes on that. And then from that company, if you're making payouts to shareholders as a buyback or dividend or what have you, you are again sort of taking on a tax load, right? So it is inefficient, it's time consuming, it's cumbersome. And again, for a US company to acquire an Indian entity and then sort of merge it or, you know, or to like, just like very difficult to sort of cease operations over here and fold an entity, right? So.
Yeah. And couple of insights from a practical point of view. India regulatorily has allowed outbound cross-border mergers. And there are instances of where outbound cross-border mergers have been allowed, but again, the same 12-month process. Unfortunately, we have a couple of jurisdictions where courts have, or actually one jurisdiction, where the court has taken a view completely contrary to the regulation. They said it is not allowed, despite the law stating it is allowed. So you, if that's your end goal, merging a company in India with a company overseas, despite being allowed by regulation, you really need to figure out which state you're incorporated in and what's the logistics around it. The other thing that I think probably is a response to the very first question we were discussing, but is also relevant here, is what is your outlook to acquisitions yourself? So if you are going to be a company which is, let's say, going to be a SaaS company but wants to have a fintech play, wants to have some other play which is peripheral to your business, again, being overseas makes sense. Because in India, you have to invest abroad only through the overseas investment regulations. So for most tech businesses, it's a straightforward automatic route. The moment you have financial services, you need to be showing 3 years of profits. There are some sectors in which you cannot invest. You cannot invest in a banking company abroad. So from a pivot point of view, so if you are a you know, BFSI SaaS, which tomorrow intends to have a fintech play or wants to enter into core business, the thinking should be, this is not something I will be able to do when I'm sitting out of India. So that's also a key consideration. If you're acquisitive, and your acquisitions are going to be global, then it's better to acquire. You want to acquire crypto from India?
But that's a great point, because I think the best founders are sort of absolutely uncapped in terms of ambition and always want to expand the pie, right? And we see that with like software, like along with vertical software, you integrate payroll and payments, you integrate lending for on top of that payroll for those employees. So if you want to expand the pie and be sort of someone who's rolling up other companies, consolidating them, then it's an important consideration.
Yeah. No, I think lots to take into account here from just that going public piece. There's obviously a bit of a sense of emotion, a sense of pride on where you want to do it. There's also an other angle of, you know, the India market looking lucrative right now, given the bar on the US is higher. But yeah, the M&A piece, there's a lot in terms of simplicity, ease of getting acquired, and also just that future vision that you need to layer on where you ultimately also want to have your end customers and do business. So yeah, super interesting. And for companies that have already kind of set up, like today, the guys who probably been outside, set up outside of India for 3-4 years, how would you recommend they think about this? Like,
so, I get this question a lot. And I have my own point of view, but want to run it by you. Quite a few founders message and say, hey, I started my company 5 years back. I'm incorporated in the US. Should I flip back? Or should I even be thinking about this now? What would your take?
It's the flavor of the season. It's the flavor of the season, I think, to be flipping back into India. I think so. It's a layered response for reasons. Depends on sector. A lot of financial regulatory sector businesses are flipping back into India because the regulator prefers you to be headquartered in India. You are anyway tapping the financial markets in India, so the presence in India doesn't harm. That is probably the top reason why people are ending up coming back in the financial regulatory space. The regulator is basically...
And if this were a SaaS company, what would you say?
I think if it's a SaaS company today wanting to come back into India, the probable answer is only linked to access to capital markets. Because in the 18 to 36 month horizon, the capital markets look very vibrant. And if you are a VC funded company and you are looking at exit and setting up an Indian business or India headquartered business for that matter, driven, of course, also by emotional value of setting up wealth for Indian investors, me being an Indian startup who's come back and giving back to India, there are ways and means you can come back into India. Coming back from the US is cumbersome, and probably it requires like the three of us to gather again for another 30 minutes to discuss what all are the complications. But yeah, you can flip back from India. It is regulatorily possible. There are taxation and other considerations on how will your ESOP holders get ESOPs, what is the tax regime that applies, what kind of investors do you have? Do you have investors who can't return to India? So if you have raised capital from jurisdictions which are not allowed to invest in India, then you are looking at a complete restructuring exercise as well. So the last point, of course, is if you have already tried an exit and it has not really worked out for you because it's not as vibrant, then obviously you should come back to India because there is an opportunity here.
Yeah. No, I think completely agree. And just to share, my point of view on this is the same, right? Like most people who think about flipping back, at least in other sectors, is because of regulatory. In software, they're thinking more exit backwards and access to like public markets in India. But it means you're opening this door and you're closing five other doors, right? So do it when you are absolutely certain, right? Otherwise, don't close other doors, because ultimately, see, if you're building a high quality business with strong fundamentals and profitability and cash flows, a good quality business will have people quoting for investment and acquisitions and exits wherever you are, right? But by taking that call to be in India, you're basically closing other doors on the other side of the... So I just tell founders, heads down, continue to build build a high quality business jurisdiction.
Yeah. Awesome. So I think last question, I'm gonna take what I threw at Harish at the beginning of this call and give it to you, Pranay. So hearing what we've heard over this conversation, where would you recommend a SaaS company to incorporate today?
If your market is India, do India. As a founder, think about your long-term journey, right? Are you going to be located in India? Are you going to be in the US? I think if you're building deep technical IP, I would recommend doing it in the US. If it's like an application workflow company focused on international markets, it's a real contours, right?
Yeah. So. Awesome. But yeah, this was great. And thanks, guys.